This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so we're in part four of a series entitled Forward Focus. You can go to 1 John 2. I'll be there in a little while. I'm not going to get there just yet, but you can go ahead and put your fingers on 1 John 2 and Romans 13. 1 John 2 and Romans 13. So we're in this series entitled Forward Focus. And up to this point, it has been very much a faith-building series. It has been much a series about planning and dreaming big and setting goals and things like that. And so this week, while I really begin to pray about what God would have me to teach. Today, this lesson is going to be one of those, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of lessons. Y'all know what I mean by that, right? Okay, and so how many know that we have to take self-examinations and look in the mirror just to make sure that we are where we need to be? Can I get a big? All right, so if I was to have a subtopic today, my subtopic would be breaking free. Breaking free from everything that is not like God. Breaking free from those things which the enemy tries to keep, you know, hold on us. And so the enemy knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. And he'll try to present things that seem enticing that only cause you to lose your focus. There's a war going on between God and Satan, you know, and to bring it down to our level, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world or this world's system. When you begin to understand what are the differences, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, and when it begins to explain the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is explained in a lot of different areas, but one place it says, hey, the kingdom is not just meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And so the kingdom has everything to do with you living your best life. The kingdom has everything to do with righteousness, has everything to do with you having peace, has everything to do with you having joy. That is what the kingdom is all about. So when you give your life to Christ, you now become a citizen of the kingdom of God, and those are the things that God wants for you. So there's the kingdom of God, but then there's the kingdom of this world or this world's system. And when you begin to talk about the world, you know, what does the world have to offer? Things like lust and jealousy and depression and hate and strife and envy and murder. You got it? Those are the things that the Bible teaches us. And so I don't know. I feel like, you know, Forrest Gump, I'm not a smart man, but I do want righteousness, peace, and joy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I want the good things and not the bad things. But having to know that's a choice. The writer says in Deuteronomy, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He said, I'm not going to make you do anything, but if I was you, I would choose life, because he says the choice that you make is not just for you, but it's for you and your seed. So he said, I would choose life that you and your seed may live. All right. 1 John, the second chapter, in the 15th verse, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Everybody say, Now watch 16, verse 16, because these are the three gates. These are the three gates. These are the three gates that you don't want to go through. If anything's going to go wrong, it's typically through these three gates, is what the Bible teaches us. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away. The world does what? Passeth away. And lust passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth, how often, class? Forever. So you see the differences between God versus Satan, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world. And so Romans 13 and 11, I told you to go there as well. Romans 13 and 11 says, the hour has already come for you to wake up. Everybody say, wake up. To wake up, you know, get a grip, open your eyes, wake up from your slumber, because our salvation, you got to hear this, is nearer now than when we first believed. You got it? Like, how many know Jesus is really coming back? Like we got to live like he's really coming back. Does that make sense? Yeah. And he says, the night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. What day? The day when the eastern sky is going to crack and Jesus is going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. But it's looking real bad. I know it's looking real bad, but Jesus is still coming back. Right? And it's almost here. So let us put aside, watch this, So the Bible, like, oh, I tell people, if you just read the Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Right? So it says, but he says, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality. Carousing is just like wild living, all right? Not in sexual immorality, in debauchery. Debauchery is just excessive indulgence and stuff. Not in dissension, that's just strife and jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And so really, and I mean that, like if we were read the Bible and apply it in our lives, it'll always keep us in a good place. We've got to do what the Bible says to do. You know, living on this earth is a pretty good thing. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So he wants us to live an incredible life here on the earth. But this is a really small part of your real life, because after you close your eyes here, you're going to open your eyes somewhere in eternity. Does that make sense? You know, how many know heaven's real? How many know hell's real too? Right? And you know, but hell is not a place that you go because God's mad at you or God's trying to punish you. That's not true. Hell is a place you go to pay for your own sins. But my whole thing is, why would you go pay for your own sins when they've already been paid for? Isn't that good? That's a good place to clap. That's a good place to clap. I appreciate 14 of y'all clapping for me, all right? All right. Everybody say big question. So the big question, so for this lesson, y'all know I'm pretty much a three-point guy, all right? So the big question, I have a big question, and then I got 3 points for you. So the big question is, am I doing it God's way? Am I doing it God's way? I am huge, super huge on self-evaluation. Not on you, but I'm talking about on me. That's how I live my life. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you. I'm always trying to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm walking with integrity, to have character. I want to be that guy that people look at and say, he's always been a consistent guy of integrity. He's always been a consistent guy that did the right thing. You know, that's really important to me because I understand that it is important to God. All right? And so you have to ask yourself the question, am I doing it God's way? And only you can really answer that question. All right? You know, and before we get into this next part, we talked about some things earlier, you know, over the past 2 weeks that I want to just remind you, like, am I giving God the first? Am I giving him the first of my week? Sunday is the first day of the week. We have church is 75 minutes. You got it? How many minutes are in a week? A lot. How many hours in a week? How many? 168 hours in a week. So we could come to church for an hour and 15 minutes. I don't know what that percentage is, but it's not very much. Right? So am I giving him the first of my week? Am I giving him the first of my day? In other words, when I wake up, am I acknowledging God? Like I understand we have a lot to do. I get it. We've got work. We've got kids. We've got school. We got all these things. But how many know we can take the first 10 to 15 minutes of our day and acknowledge God? Father, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Like, I'm showing my attitude of gratitude. Like, I realize somebody didn't get up, but I got up. So that is the first thing. And it's for starting me on my way. And then I start declaring my day. I thank you for peace today, and joy today, and favor today. Father, you know I've got this situation, and I've got this meeting, and I've got, you know, this going on, so I need your help. Now I'm praying the prayer petition. You know, I'm putting it all together. Then I'm binding the spirit of darkness, and I'm loosing the light of God in my children's lives. You got it? Just, you know, I'm spending time with God, because how you start the beginning of a thing is typically how the rest of it is going to go. Does that make sense? You know, am I giving the first of my increase? You got it? Because God's not going to make me do any of these things. He's not going to make me live right. He's not going to make me do devotions. He's not going to make me give a tithe. He has given me his word. You understand? You got it? And not only does he give me his word, but he backed it up with his power to perform it once I apply the word in my life. So am I giving him the first of my increase? Like, when I get my check, do I have a conviction that the tithe belongs to God? Like, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to, and I'm going to freely and willfully give it to me, because after all, he's done so much for me. Willfully and freely give it to him because he's done so much for me. All right. You know, I know y'all knew what I'm saying, but I'm on the podcast and they listen to it all over the country. So I corrected myself. Amen. Right? So, you know, because what the enemy really wants is he wants you ripping and running so you'll be wore out and not do the things that really matter. All right. He wants you to be so caught up in doing the wrong things that you can't do the right things. We know what the wrong things are. We just kind of talked about, you know, the wrong things. Bottom line is sin. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you don't need to pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. Does that make sense? You know. Well, what are the right things? The right things are giving him my first, are spending time in my devotions. How about this? Spending time with my family. You got it? How about planning for my future? How about making a difference? You understand what I'm saying? Those are the things that I should really be focused on. Those are the things that you know, are the right path for me. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, they'll put it up on the screen. It says, this is what the Lord says. Who says this? The Lord. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and do what, class? And walk in it. He says, so ask for the good way and walk in it. And if you do this, you will find rest for your souls. So the Bible says that if a man needs wisdom, all he has to do is ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So if you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, the Bible says all you've got to do is go ask God. God, I need your wisdom in this. Help me to do this. And Holy Spirit will begin to lead you. He'll begin to guide you. He'll begin to help you. He'll begin to check you. And we don't like to be checked. Because we's grown and we don't want nobody telling us nothing. Because my parents used to tell me stuff and I couldn't wait till I got out of the house so they wouldn't tell me nothing. You got it? Because I wanted to be grown. And when I got grown, I realized what grown became all the things that they were trying to help me for in the day that I'm in. You got it? You know, like I didn't realize when I was grown that meant bills and responsibility and accountability. You got it? So you got to realize that my parents were trying to help me the whole way. See, every parent should have clapped real good about that, especially parents of teenagers. All right, so, you know, and so he says, ask for the good way. Watch this. What, you got to get this. The writer says, ask for the good way and then walk in it. Because how many know God's going to lead you down the right path? He's going to show you the way. This is our year of great focus. Isn't that right? So we're going to see ways we've never seen before. Great clarity. We're going to hear in ways we've never heard before. This is acceleration. He's going to take us to places we've never gone before. But he needs our permission and our participation to usher his will into my life. You understand what I'm saying? And so look, my name is James. I'm just your friend. I just want you to live a good life. You understand what I'm saying? Like that's my thing. I know how to do this thing. You got it. I know how to do this thing. Lady LaConte and I, we live an absolutely incredible life. You got it? Like we live an incredible, we have always lived an incredible life. Not just when we were pastors. Before we were pastors, we've always lived a really good life because from the very beginning when we got married, we said, you know what? We're going to do it God's way so we can get God results. We're going to get together in faith. We're going to agree. We're going to plan. We're going to write some goals. We're going to make our own confessions. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to let anybody in our relationship. We're not going to do the things of the world, but we're going to do the things of the kingdom. And because we did that, watch this, not overnight, but over time, we see our lives getting better and better and better. You got it? And so that is why I know that this works, because it works for me. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. And so he says, the last part of that scripture says, and this is a real big, big one, and you will find rest for your souls. Like, you know, I'm not really that old. You got it. I'm only 42 years old, but I'm older than 22. You got it. And the older I get, the more things are more beneficial to me now than they were before. You understand? When I was 22, you rip and you run. You got it. You just do. You go to bed at 2:00 in the morning. You wake up at 6:00. It don't matter. I'm gonna make it work. You got it. Drink a Red Bull. You got it. Take something that you shouldn't take. You understand? And just make it. But the older you get, the more you appreciate things like rest. The older you get on a Friday night in bed by 9:00, it beats the willofgod.com. And don't let there be some reruns or a marathon, hello somebody, of your favorite show on a Saturday. And let it be raining a little bit. When I was 22, I was like, hey, what's everybody doing? Now I'm like, I don't want to know what everybody's doing. Can I get up? Like, you just want rest. And on top of rest, you just want peace. Like, you don't want to fight with nobody. You don't want to go off with nobody. You just want God to be good to you and you to be good to God. You just want your children to obey and do what you told them to do. You just want to see some good grades come in on the report card. You just want the neighbors just to get along with everybody. Like, we just want some rest and some peace. Like, I'm not asking for a lot. You understand what I'm saying? for all the bosses in the house or the supervisor. You just want the people under you to come in and do what they're supposed to do. I mean, they're getting paid to do it. We shouldn't have to fuss about it. Do you feel what I'm saying? You just want rest. Everybody say rest. Like, I mean, seriously, this is in my heart. I want to get along with everybody. Like, if I don't, from this day forward, really before this, but I don't want to fuss with anybody. Yeah, I'm not a very confrontational kind of person anyways. Like, don't get me wrong. If you take me there, I'll take you there. You understand what I'm saying? But I really don't want to do that. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to fight. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not no Winkling. I certainly ain't no punk. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is I really would rather not do with any of that stuff because it does not produce righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? And so, amen, that's a good place to clap. So he says, rest for your souls. Man, this is a good lesson, all right? You know, you teach on sin and people clap and laugh, that's a good thing, all right? Because Isaiah says that there is no rest for the wicked. When we fall into sin, along with it comes a lot of things that you don't want. Guilt, shame, you got it? And all those things keep you from rest, and that's not an easy life, that's a hard life. Proverbs 3 and 15 teaches us that good understanding gives favor, all right? But the way of the transgressor is what, class? Oh, come on. The way of the transgressor is?
Hard.
The way of the transgressor is hard. See, like when you do it God's way and have good understanding and apply in your life, it will cause favor to show up in your life. You got it? But the way of the transgressor, man, it's hard. I mean, it's hard. You got it? Now, this next part, you don't have to agree with me because I don't want, you know, anybody looking to the left or to the right. You understand? So just everybody say amen to everything I say, all right? But, you know, it's hard to keep lies. And can I get a?
Amen.
It's hard to keep secrets. Can I get a?
Amen.
It's hard to sneak around. Can I get a?
Amen.
It's hard to have several emails. Can I get a?
Amen.
It's hard to have multiple cell phones. Can I? It's just hard to sin. Like, sin is hard. Like, that's too much. You got to, I don't get it. Like, it's just so much easier to live right so God can bless you so you can live an incredible life. Like, I'm trying to break this down in a way you're like, you know what, Pastor, that's right. Like I've been living the hard way. It's just, it's easy, y'all, to your brothers, to love one woman. You can't afford three. Not if you're treating the one you got right. See, every woman in the house should have been clapping for me right there. Even if you ain't married, because you plan on getting married one day. You got it. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener when you where you water or you water in your grass. But anyways, all right. So three things sin does. How many things?
Three
things. It actually does more than this, but for the context of this lesson, number one, sin makes you worry. Sin makes you worry. Why? Because when you're in sin, you worry about getting caught. You know I'm telling the truth. When we mess up, when we make mistakes, you got it. You know, you worried about, no, that's just too much. You know, I remember when Lady LaConte and I first got married. Of course, we've been married 21 years. When we first got married, I wasn't as strong in faith as I am now, of course. You know, her father was, Pastor Taylor was the one that really began to teach me faith from the beginning. You got it? And so, of course, you know, but in the beginning, you know, I'm working our numbers and working our bills and we're not really making a whole bunch. And I'm like, whoo, you know. And then she would just lovingly come by and tell me, worryation is a sin. Boy, that used to aggravate me so bad. And she knew it aggravated me, but she would still tell me. So I think she was trying to tell me to have faith, but she was telling me the wrong way. Or at least the wrong way for me. She was giving it to me the holiness way, you got it? And I believe in holiness, right? But I needed the word of faith way. Babe, if we believe, all things are possible. All right? So sin makes you worry. Sin blocks the blessing. Sin blocks the blessing, all right? I'm going to get to the blessing in a minute. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. All right. When you think of grief, one of the things that we think of, especially when we lose a loved one, someone that we really, you know, love, care about, and those kind of things, you know, they go to heaven and those kind of things, even though you know that they go to heaven, even though you know you're going to see them again one day, there's some grief, natural grief, that takes place. You got it. Of course, we know that we don't mourn as those who have no hope, so we're not stuck in it forever, but there is a process that you go through, you got it, because why? You miss the person. You miss the relationship. You start thinking about, you know, and it grieves you on the inside. And when it grieves you, grief doesn't feel good. You got it? Well, the Bible teaches us that when we sin, that it grieves God. And so imagine the same way that you feel, you got it, you know, that's the same way that God feels. And so it makes you worry. It blocks the blessing in your life. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 5 and 25 teaches us that your iniquities have turned away these things, watch this, and your sins have withholden what? Good things from you. You got it? Your sin is withholding good things from you. I got a question. Now, I'm going back to our high school days, all right? Our high school days. Now, husbands don't get jealous and wives don't get jealous. You with the one you got. You got it? But just for a minute, let's just travel back. You remember the high school days when you wanted to date or you thought you wanted to date and, you know, you thought you were in love with somebody? Some of y'all, some brothers like, Pastor, I ain't saying nothing. I'm just looking right at you. No, I'm saying... Not now, I'm talking about back in the day, all right? You got it? You know, but then, you know, do y'all remember let's forget high school. Let's go to middle school or sixth grade or fifth grade. You know, do you want to date? Check the box. There's a box for yes, box for no. Y'all remember that, right? Yeah, you know, and then, you know, then when you decided that you didn't want, you know, you love them, you were going to spend the rest of your life with them, and then you realize you don't want to be with them no more. So you wrote them a letter. Like, you didn't want to tell them. You know, and back in those days, we didn't have texts and cell phones, and we didn't even have beepers when I was, you know, beepers didn't come around to high school, I think. Yeah, and so, you know, but so just like you gave them a letter, you know, do you want to date? Check the box. You know, you had to write them a letter, and it was a breakup letter. You got it? And then, you know, you would tell them stuff like, I can't do this anymore. It's not you, but it's me. You understand what I'm saying? But see, what you got to do is you got to write the devil a breakup letter and let the devil know, I'm breaking up with you. I'm breaking up with sin. I can't do this anymore. It ain't even you. It's just me. But I don't want to do this no more. I want righteousness. I want peace. And I want joy in the Holy Ghost. You got it? And once you do that, man, you accept God's forgiveness, you experience rest, and you begin to move on with the rest of your life. Well, Pastor, I made some mistakes. We've all made mistakes. The Bible says, 1 John 1 and 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance does not put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line, so to speak, back in a place where you can hear from God, back in a place where you can experience God's blessings in your life. Amen? Are y'all getting blessed by this today? Amen. Oh, this is good. This is good. I'm right where I need to be. We about to wrap this thing up. All right. So you got to make it up in your mind that you're going to surrender to the will of God, that you're going to do life God's way. Everybody say obey God. Yeah, I mean, that's the key, man. Just obey God. Obey his word, you got it, whether it be the Logos word, whether it be the Rhema. Sometimes I read it, and then I'll get a conviction, say, well, I need to get myself together. Sometimes I'm just walking down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, you know better than that. Like, no matter what it is, like, just obey God and do what he tells you to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, and don't stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. You got it? I couldn't remember who it was. I was kind of going over my lesson this morning. I go over my lesson right until I teach it. You got it? Like, I've studied it. I know it. I've memorized most of it, but I'm in the office looking over it again. And I was thinking, I don't know if y'all remember, there was a game that happened recently, and it was toward the end. I can't remember what happened, but anyways, maybe they were at third down or fourth down, and the guy, they needed to get this next first down. They threw the ball to this guy. Big old, I think it was a big tight end. He's got the ball. He's running, and he stiff arms this dude and just holds him. I don't know if y'all remember that. Now, y'all think I'm joking, but I'm being serious. I can't remember what game it was. You got it? But I mean, like, they made them jokers look bad. You got it? And if we're not careful, sometimes that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. You got, we hold him away and we push him off when really you should be pushing off the enemy and allowing the Holy Spirit to come and help you. Does that make sense? One scripture that we only read part of is Isaiah 1 and 19. A lot of times when you read 1 and 19, you should also read 20 as well. It says, if you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You shall eat the good of the land. But what we don't read is verse 20. All right? We know that if I'm willing and obedient, I'm going to eat the good of the land. Well, watch this now. He says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So I set before you life, set before you death. I set before you blessings. I set before you. If I was you, I would choose life. I would choose the way of the kingdom and not the way of the world. Does that make sense? All right, and so I'm going to give you the key to it all. These are my last 3 points, and then we're going to take you home. Did y'all get blessed today?
Yes.
All right, let me give you the key to it all. All right, once I decide to write a letter and break up with the devil, break up with sin, and decide to do it God's way, there's 3 things I've got for you. Number one, once you're on this right road, you must know your purpose. And let me just help you. At the end of the day, you were created to make a difference. At the end of the day, you were created and designed to worship God, all right? And at the end of the day, you were created to live for him. Help. Watch this. And the reason why it doesn't work when you don't live for him is because you were not created not to live for him. You were created to live for him, all right? And so Psalms 139 and 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You got it? And so God already had this whole thing mapped out from the beginning. You got it? So you really cannot do what you want because it never works out like that. Jeremiah 29:11, let's go home, Courtney. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, watch this, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So God didn't want to harm you. The enemy wants to harm you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I got plans to give you a future, to give you a hope. So number one, I must know my purpose. Number two, everybody say number two. I must have a plan. I must have a plan. You got to have a plan how you're going to live this life, all right? Proverbs 17 and 24 in the Good News Translation says, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Pastor, what in the world does that scripture mean? I'm going to break it down for you. Slow down, count up the cost, and use wisdom in every area of your life. That's what that means. Slow down. You got it. Put the brakes on. Pump the brakes. Count up the cost. Start thinking about the decisions you're making. Start thinking about where you are. Start thinking about who you connected to. Like, are all these things right, or do I need to make some adjustments? And then use wisdom in every area of your life. And then last one, number three, I must have accountability. And this is a big one. Listen. I love having accountability in my life. I do. It's easy. See. Most people don't want to have accountability in their lives because they want to be able to do what they want to do. And that's right, but it's wrong. Because I have accountability in my life. I have people over me in the Lord. Ultimately, I'm accountable to my wife. You got it. She's like natural. She's number one. Why? Because she the one know if I'm doing anything wrong before anybody else. Because you can fool some people some of the time. You got it. But typically the one that you sleep with in bed at night, especially women, they got this thing called women's intuition. I didn't know about this until I did something dumb one time, all right? You got it? And so I can still do what I want to do even though I'm accountable, but I just always choose to do the right thing. So accountability doesn't mean somebody's got a chain around you. No. But accountability means that if I'm going in the right direction, she has the right to say, hey, babe, what you doing? Like, where'd that come from? She has the right to do that. And everybody needs to be accountable to somebody. And I believe that if you're married, that's the first step. If you're single, then what you need to do is you need to find somebody that's good and saved. What did I say?
Good and saved.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand? You know, I'm not being funny. I'm serious about that. And because why do you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they'll have that boldness to tell you, even though that, you know, your friends that, hey, hold on now. Well, oh, girl. We don't do that. Hold on, homeboy. You got it. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. Watch this. But if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in what?
Real
real trouble. So everybody needs accountability. So just make it up in your mind. And we said we're going to forget everything, that happened in 2019. We're going to forgive everyone that tried to hurt us. We're going to focus on our future. Remember, we said those things. Then we said that we're going to have plans, and we're going to dream big, and we're going to put God first, and we should do all those. But I want to make sure that you break free from everything that's not like God in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few of you all have to move, but it's so early in the